The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
It's the Cigar Authority After Show, and it's brought to you by Roma Craft Tobacco. Since 2010, Mike Rosales and Skip Martin have focused on the simple and time-honored task of combining quality tobacco, experienced craftsmen, and the right amount of time to bring you cigars worthy of the legacy of the centuries of premium cigar craftsmen that came before them. Whether you are revisiting the anti-prohibition era mindset of intemperance or getting in touch with your more primal side with a Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, you are sure to find a blend in the Roma Craft House of Brands that fits the exact balance of flavor, strength, and body you are looking for in that moment. When you're finally able to take a short break from the world to relax and enjoy a cigar, the last thing you need is a complicated sales pitch. Simple yet substantial. Tobacco, talent, time. Roma Craft Tobacco.
The After Show, the After Show. It's the After Show, everybody. Immediately following the regular show, Al McAuliffe is still here with us. And as we were going through the strength of meter and Jonathan was still having the last of his cigar, he decided to go up to a 5 in his strength.
That's not true.
No.
I have 4 written down, so you couldn't mess with me.
I think he decided to light a McAuliffe Black to test against.
All right.
This was a gift from Al McAuliffe.
All right, so now you got to the rest of the show to say, if that is a 6, which you agreed upon, the McAuliffe Black is a 6, is that a 5? And it could happen. We could do it. But the news of the day right now is a German court ruled that non-Cuban companies cannot use the term Habano or Cubano as described in products in Germany, meaning New World cigars, non-Cubans can't say they use Habano wrapper, which is what it's called. And this legal action took place in Munich in 2020, and here we are 5 years later, and it apparently passed. And now if you have a product using a Habano wrapper, you need to come up with a new name to describe it because you can't do it. Or if it's in the title of your brand that it's something Habano, you can't do it. Is there a Perdomo Habano?
Yeah, the bourbon. Well, it was Habano, and then they changed it to bourbon barrel age, probably in advance of this.
All right. Okay. So these things that has happened, and this is an old story that happened in the U.S. with Altadis USA. Was an owner. Altadis owned 50% of Habanos, the Cuban company, later selling it off because it was actually illegal to actually have because it was a legal company that sold stock in the company. You could buy Altadis, where an American could buy that stock and would get revenue from a Cuban product, which said it was illegal to actually for an American to own that
stock. Because of the Helms-Burton Act.
Yeah. So they ended up having that go away. But beforehand, while they were still in control of it, they went out in the United States and they took legal action, not through the courts, but through lawyers to say, your trademark, in the case of myself personally, I had a trademark of La Gianna Havana. And they said, I had that brand over 20 years trademarked, they said, you cannot use that name because we own it. I had it trademarked 10 years before Altadis was even a company. And they're telling me I couldn't. So I contacted a lawyer, and the lawyer said, you're 100% right. You can, and you can go to court with them and beat them. The problem is it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it. How much of that are you really selling?
Can't just represent yourself in court?
No.
So chicken.
What did I say? Somebody that represents themselves has a fool for an attorney or something?
Yeah.
Now the decision is, what do I do? And I said, so what do I do? Do I lose the brand? And they said, no, you have first right of it. You're the first person to put it out. You can still have the product, but you can't be trademarked anymore. You got to let the trademark go, which is what I ended up doing. But I got a phone call from the folks at Zycar immediately following that. And the folks that owned Zycar at the time said, hey, Dave, what do you know about this Habano thing where you can't use the name? And I said, wow, I know everything about it, actually. Why would you call me and ask me that? And they said, because we got served legal papers that we have a brand called Havana Club.
It was HC.
Havana Club. And we got the same thing. And the reason why we're calling you is they're suing David Garofalo from Zycar. So it must have been the lawyer making a mistake as they're suing everybody and just had my name, and I happened to be the one before that, and they ended up...
Havana Collection.
Havana Collection, correct. So it was a lighters and stuff, that's what they called. And I said, I contacted a lawyer. He said, we did too. And I said, well, the lawyer told me this. He says, yeah, we got the same thing. And it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight it. And how much am I really selling? And he said, I'm going to fight it. And I said, you're going to go for hundreds of thousands of dollars and fight this? He said, yes, I am. So they did it. And they fought it. And they won. And then they sold it to
Orleans.
Scandinavian Tobacco.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which probably funded it. I don't know what ended up happening there. So the General Cigar, their biggest competitor, ended up doing it. But he ended up doing it. But you can fight and win these things, but somebody has to go through the legal battle to end up doing it. And it's painful and expensive. And
it's the only time I've ever seen spite not be your motivator.
It's real money.
Yeah. That's real money.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm sorry to this day. But La Gianavana is still out there, 30th anniversary. Nobody's ever contacted us any different. But if you look it up on the trademark, you'll see abandoned. I abandoned my own trademark, but I still have the product out there. And I still came out with new ones since. So
what if you said in the name, you said something like, I can't use this name. You know, and still used it was saying.
Yes, you can. You can't have it trademarked.
Yeah. Oh, you can. Yeah, it's okay.
So it's just a legal document, but he still has first right of use. So he could essentially block somebody from copying the trademark.
Okay.
But what I can't do is I can't go and bring La Gianna to Germany now. Because it says La Gianna Havana right on it. Or I could take it off for the German use of it or whatever. But
then you're dealing with two sets of packaging. It's a nightmare.
And this is all because Cuba says we own the rights to that name, which they really don't, because not enough people in the U.S., I guess, stopped it. But one person did, and don't at that point legally, once one person did, it's precedence.
Mm-hmm. You do have precedence. So go back and get the trademark. You got first use, 1992.
Four.
1994. Same thing.
So I don't know. Do you end up fighting battles that, you know, out of principle?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't even have to ask them the question. You know the answer.
And I've done a lot. I've done a lot of it. But when it comes to real money like that, it's like, and the lawyer telling me, don't do it.
I would dispute the cost. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think you could, based on the information you have, I think you could get an injunction. Or you could get something ruled on quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. And now, you know.
You would think the lawyer would want the gig, but their lawyer was top people and all that stuff. And he just said, don't do it. Now, that takes us to McAuliffe. McAuliffe, when this cigar came out, I saw it the first day it came out, and I said, oh, these guys are in trouble. So I look at it, and there's two saws. Turns out that they're saws, but they cross into the letter X. And Arturo Fuente has been known for all these years that anybody that comes out with an X or two swords that are crossing, all these different things over all these years, since probably 94 when Opus X came out, that they protect the hell out of a letter X. And you wouldn't think, you know, maybe somebody's going to go up against them and fight it, but everybody rolls over and doesn't do it. And McAuliffe comes out, there's the X, and I go, nah, they're going to be in trouble. And then I never heard anything happen until you told the story. So what happened?
Well, what happened was is I kept hearing, once we brought the product out, that by their reps and other people that are close to the family said, you know, they're going to sue you over your ex. I said, please tell them to sue me. I said, that would be the best thing you guys could do for me, because I'm a little shitty-ass company, and here's this you know, powerhouse, and I need the publicity, and this might be the cheapest way of getting publicity.
Wow.
So, and I've said that maybe 10 times to 10 different people.
Something went back to them.
Yeah, and so it obviously got back to them. And then I ran into Cynthia at the first PCA show. It was called something different, obviously. And she said, let's have a cigar together at a lounge. I said, sure. So I'm sat down talking with her. And she,
you thought it was coming?
Yeah, I knew all I knew was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she looked at it. She said, whoa, geez, that looks like an X. Looks like we, it looks like our X. And, you know, we really protect that. And I said, yeah, I said, I can understand that. If I were you, I'd do the same thing. I said, but that's not an X. But I told her what it was. I said, but more importantly, we've had this in our family since 1090. She goes, 1090, what is that? I said, no, that's a year, honey.
Yeah.
1090.
Yeah.
She goes, 1090? I said, yeah. I said, how long have you had your ex? She goes,
92.
Yeah, whatever it was. And I said, well, we're slightly older than you are. And I said,
yeah.
I don't have an issue with you having the ex.
I'll allow you to have it.
And so basically she goes, yeah, she says, I said, they wouldn't make much sense. She said, some jury would heard this at 1090, 90, whatever. He says, we're dead meat. I said, I don't care. You can use that X all you want.
That's beautiful.
That's what we
like. And this is your family crest.
Yeah, it's our family crest.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
McAuliffe. If you Google McAuliffe family crest, it'll be exactly what you see. There's a lot of varieties of it.
Yeah.
And this is very simplified. Because if you really look at the crest.
It's on your jacket, yeah, here.
Well, it gets real, real ornate out of this, you know. I mean, and
yeah,
my daughter's done a lot of research. And the X is because our family was in the law, you know. And so as the law cuts for you, it also could cut against you. And that's why there's two saws. But
and brilliant. In 1000, the year 1000, there 90. Was lawyers.
Yeah, that surprised me in the law. But I guess there have been judges, obviously, since nearly the beginning of time. So, and that's the area that we were in.
So they said prostitution is the oldest, but it might be lawyers.
It might
between
be
lawyers and prostitutes.
Well, I think not much difference.
I think they, that's right. I think they came at the same time.
There
you know?
We go.
Exactly.
All right. Right now, it's time to make some beautiful music with Avo Cigars.
From moments worth remembering to stories worth telling and notes worth savoring, Avo Cigars. Lyrics of top charted songs. Can you guess the name of the song and the artist from the wrong lyrics or even the right ones? Avo Cigars.
Okay, I'm going to say the name, the words of a song. Just one line, word of a song, and if you know it, click the button and tell me what it is and who sang it.
Oh, boy.
Ready?
Yeah.
I see trees of green. Mr. Jonathan.
That would be What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
That is correct. Did you know it?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Everybody knows that one.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
It's a great piece of
music. It is. Yeah. It is. Okay, so I want a story from you, and I'm going to pick either the Gypsy or the Johnny Mop story. Which is the better of the two of these stories? And we'll save the other one for the next time we see you.
I guess I like the Johnny Mop story.
All right, Johnny Mop is going to be there. So tell us what a Johnny Mop is to
all
begin
right.
with.
So when I was in high school, I worked at a grocery store very close to my home. And the owner was Armenian. And he, for some reason, he and I kind of clicked like father and son. And in fact, when I developed my Twist Lounge, I did it right next door to the store.
So how old were you at the Twist Lounge? So
they don't even 16. I had to be 16 because I was driving then.
All right. So 16 years old, he gets a place and makes a lounge. He's 16 years old, and people would come in and do the twist. So this is in Chubby Checker, right? 1960.
Yeah. We had a interesting, you talked about, we had a cover charge, $3 cover charge. Had a disc jockey, and the only thing we sold was Cokes and potato chips.
Because you're 16 years old.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. And so, at any rate.
And he made thousands of dollars. He was making more than his father, and they thought he was a drug dealer or something.
They really did. Yeah. Took me to the priest. I had to talk to the priest. So, what did I decide?
Johnny Mop.
Johnny Mop. So I'm working at this grocery store, and the Armenian that owned it was a butcher, and that's all he cared about, meat. I mean, he loved meat. So he said, Al, he said, you need to help me. And I go, what's that? He said, I want you to take care of the grocery purchases. Yeah, I mean, he said, the other products in the store, the cereals, you know, the toilet paper, everything, the wine, I was an expert on. We only had two wines, and they were Jewish wines, right?
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the name of the
M, right?
Manischewitz.
Manischewitz, he said. So I had to be an expert on one wine. But at any rate, he said, you take care of the grocery. So when I was growing up, I don't know if you guys remember, but Procter & Gamble was a big deal. And if you happened to work for Procter & Gamble or Procter & Gamble salesman, that was the job getting out of school. So this Procter & Gamble P&G salesman comes in, and he said, we're talking. He said, hey, I have a new product you ought to look at. And I said, okay. So he opens this briefcase, and he brings out this first time I've seen a plastic utensil, but it was it looked like a clamshell. It's about that long. It had a apparatus on the end that was kind of round, and it opened up, and I said, what is that? He says, it's a Johnny Mop. So I said, what's a Johnny Mop? He said, well, he says, you put this little, looked like a Kotex, but it's thin. Says you put it in, you clamp it shut. Says you clean the inside of your toilet with it. Now, I remember my mother having a rag cleaning the inside of the toilet. I thought, that is a great product. You don't have to stick your hand in the toilet. You pop the thing open, the little cartridge or paper product falls into the john, you flush it, you're all done. He said, it is a new product. We have a special. You buy two boxes, you get one free. I mean, and they're like 10 in a box. He said, you buy five boxes and you get four free. So I bought the maximum. And at that time, I think I bought 10 boxes. I got 20 boxes more. So we lined up. The store's not as big as this room. So we have these boxes lined up in the aisles where nobody could even get to the groceries. And my boss said to me, he goes, Al, what is this? What did you order? And I said, oh, I don't know. I opened the box. I said, oh, man, it's the Johnny Mops. He goes, what's a Johnny Mop? And I said, look, I explained to him, but see how it works. He goes, Al, that's a great product, great idea, but it's going to take us 6 months, a year, 2 years to sell out. And it's filling the store. I said, no, I'll sell them in 30 days. He goes, you can't sell these in 30 days. He said, I said, I'll sell in 30 days. So I remember he told me several stories about small grocery people and the little tricks they use to make extra money. So one of the tricks they use is they put a brand new broom at the register. So as you had a big order, you know, so he'd ring the broom up with the order, but they never gave you the broom. So if somebody said, hey, what's this dollar or dollar and a half for? He said, oh, I don't know. It's the broom. It's your broom. He said, well, I didn't buy a broom. Oh, I'm sorry. Because you probably know all the stores had a broom. So if there was no customers, you were sweeping, right? So it was a legitimate deal to have a broom by the register. The illegitimate thing was is they sold you that broom and every other person with a big order. So I thought, you know, that's dishonest, and I didn't think that was very good. But I thought, but I could use that to sell these Johnny Mops. So every big order, I rang up a Johnny Mop and threw it in the bags. No, they had some refills, but So people would get home, and this is a store I knew everybody. Lady would call me, and she'd go, Al, I got this piece of plastic. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, it's a piece of plastic. I said, I made her explain to me what it was. I obviously knew exactly what it was. She said, what's it for? And I said, well, it's for cleaning your toilet out. Now, what woman wants to put her hand in a toilet, right? They go, hey, this is a great product. So I said, let me run you some more refills out. And so I get on my bike. I pedal down there because I knew the whole neighborhood. And so I sold every one of those Johnny Mops in a little over 30 days. And I made a quarter on each one. You know, I thought I was in a good shape. So that's basically my Johnny Mops story, how I got rid of hundreds of these Johnny Mops in 30 days. So
it's just a warning for those that come in Two Guys Smoke Shop, because I learned there's going to be something by the register. Make sure you take it before you leave, because you're going to get
it. We're charging you for it.
You're going to pay for it.
That's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that later got really expanded, because as you guys know, you go to any store, and as you're waiting to ring up, they got gum on this side, magazines on this side, chocolate bars hanging from the ceiling. It's, you know, and obviously they, you know, somebody, it's a impulse purchase, right? So that I think I started that program and didn't know it.
Wow. So there's just so much of it. Al, it's been so great having you here and hearing the stories of what happened in the past. But history repeats itself. So you listen to those stories and you try to put them into regular everyday stuff. And, you know, how it happens with me is sometimes I see something happen in the cigar industry, and I've already lived through it. It's 39 years for me in this industry, and something's happened. And I said, oh, I'm not going to end up getting this because this is what's going to happen. And they go, what are you talking about? And then later it happens, and they go, how did you know that happened? And I said, because I saw this movie before. It's the same thing. It's repeat. So yeah. That's how it is. I hope you had a good time. I certainly had a great time having you here.
I had a great time.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, everybody, that is it for the after show. We're going to catch you Saturday on the Cigar Authority, where we're going to have the
Cigar Draft.
Cigar Draft 2024 Cigar Draft. Dan Davison is going to join us, and it's going to be the best one yet, he tells me.
All right.
So we'll catch you Saturday on the Cigar Authority.
Stick the lid end in your mouth. You might like it.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.